Well, here we go. Lubo, a Las Vegas virgin, I think. You've never been there before, or is
no,
it Wills?
I've been never... once.
You've been once?
Yeah, Derek is. This will be a first for Derek. I was there in 2005.
Okay. So you get the spiel down there that it's not like real life.
No, I didn't see a lot of real life.
Yeah,
the way I describe Vegas, and I'm for sure, Vegas is not me necessarily.
No, I can't imagine.
No, and I think you would be the first to know that. But I will say this. It is one of those places that I think you just need to go to see and experience because it's really unlike anywhere I've ever been.
That is absolutely true. I'll give you a quote. My dad has lived down there for about 30 years, and he said, Kel,
okay,
not a lot of scientists come to move here. It's a... So it's a different...
They're not building rockets there?
No, not a lot of that going on. You're not going to get a lot of Nobel Peace Prize winners, but that's okay. It is Las Vegas. We'll talk about the Golden Knights in just a bit, because that is tomorrow, so the flight goes today. Yesterday, interesting game. I thought it was a neat crowd. A lot of younger folks taking in the game on Family Day, which I always like to see. And it was back and forth, and... As we say on the show, when we talk about overtime, it's not really 3-on-3 overtime. It's who gets caught out there first, and that's basically what happened.
It is basically what happened, and if you want to start with the overtime winner, and the Flames have been on the right side of overtimes when you think about it this way. There's been a number of overtime wins for the Flames where the other team had great possession. Take Philadelphia on November 18th, for example.
Yep.
They had the puck the whole time. The Flames had it for 10 seconds, and Michael Frolik takes a pass from Backlund and ends the game. It was somewhat similar that the Flames really controlled the overtime, had a couple of glorious chances. TJ Brody, tries to make a play in front of his own net, loses at the handle, and guess who goes the other way on a breakaway?
Of course.
Brad Marchand. The last guy on their group you want to see with a game on his stick and having a breakaway. And he made absolutely no mistake. Interesting day yesterday in this regard. When you see it with your own two eyes, as I now have twice in a week, you understand why the Boston Bruins have done what they've done. That is a fast, deep, tenacious team with some high-end skill. A defenseman at 40, nearly 41, that's still miserable to play against and, frankly, can still intimidate people. And I thought at times he did just that. They put on a first-period clinic, Kelly. That's the best period of hockey I think I've watched a team play this year. But to the Flames' credit, thanks to David Rittich, Flames were down one. They weren't down three or four. And I thought the Flames game got better and better as the day went along. Their best period was in the third. And probably at the end of the day, the right result happened. Now, the right result wasn't what the Flames wanted or what their fans wanted, but the way the game was played probably deserved to go a little extra. And you might say the Bruins were just a little better.
Well, when you think about it, the one shot that goes off Tuukka Rask, he gets it with the small end of his stick. You know it's not going to be your time in overtime when something like that happens, because that the chances of that being a goal are about 90% or maybe 95%. And he doesn't react to it, gets enough with his goal stick. I mean, unbelievable.
Well, and guess what? This is the same individual, and TJ Brody ended up being involved. Tuukka Rask also had a night where he lost a game where didn't the puck get shot
yep.
in the stands, hit the glass, hit the back of the net, hit him, and go in. So I guess, like most things, it evens up.
Turnabout is fair play, I guess. Can you give us a bit of an update on what's going on with
sure.
the team right now? Because obviously we had the news earlier today that Morgan Klimchuk is back down to Stockton, so he gets to play the one game as a Calgary Flame in his hometown. Troy Brower, and information on Christopher Stieg and Mike Smith, if you could fill us in, please.
Troy Brower going back in the lineup after suffering a facial fracture in New Jersey on the first shift of that game, which he ended up finishing. So Troy will be back in the lineup tomorrow. There was really not much of a practice today. Originally, they were going to have a full practice. They decided apparently late last night that that wasn't going to be the case. So you can't read into lines or anything. But Troy will definitely come back into the lineup, and that's why they had to send somebody back. Chris Versteeg, good to see him on the ice today. Had a short little visit with him. He feels like after the hip surgery that he's probably ahead of schedule, says it's gone really well, told us today that he needs to see his surgeon in New York on the 27th of this month, and they'll go from there. My guess is a mid-March potential return, as long as everything has gone well and he's healing properly. And he says his conditioning, all things considered, is pretty good. He's going to need a few days of getting back into the battle, and you can never replicate, game condition. Mike Smith is the question mark for me. I don't have a great gut feeling about where that situation stands, and my guess is it's going to be longer than anticipated originally. It may not be 6 to 8 weeks, which I think we all feared when we saw the injury that Sunday evening in Brooklyn, New York, but it's not come around to the point where I think there was some expectation at one point that he might be ready to play as early as this trip at one point. Well, that's not happening. And I don't think it's happening on Saturday against Colorado either, when the team returns from this two-game back-to-back excursion. So you also hear some rumors that the Flames might be searching for things and maybe a veteran if indeed this turns into more of a long-term situation. So the good news is Mike's going to make the trip, and I really think it's day-to-day, probably right on the fence. And truth of the matter is, in Kent Kubelka and the Flames medical staff, they're as good as there is in the business. And I'm not just saying that to pump their tires. That's a fact. So they're taking every precaution, every ounce of care to treat whatever exactly it is. But I would say it's fair at this point to say it's not quite as positive today as we thought it might have been.
Yeah, because it was super negative after the game against the Islanders. And then a couple days later, it's like, oh, a little better than we thought. And now it looks like it's going the other way, where it might be maybe not quite as negative and dire and, you know, and season ending, but certainly not something that he's going to return in the next little while. And it's one of those things that, boy, you have to be careful with it, because you cannot, no sense in him playing a period and a half and then re-injuring the thing.
No, there isn't. And guess what? The time of year really complicates the situation because of the race this team is in. They have 22 games left. They're right in the teeth of it. Yesterday wasn't the world's best day, even though you really have to catch yourself of playing the standings game every single day and every single night, which everybody does. You know, it's part of the fun, in all sincerity. You know, in 1 minute, out the next minute, look like they're in great shape for a day and a half, and then you don't play or other teams play. Some nights it all works out for you on the scoreboard. Days like yesterday, not so good. But listen, bottom line for me is this. This team can't afford to be without their number one guy for too much longer. And that is nothing against David Rittich, who I think has been superb. He was the best part of yesterday for two reasons. How would he bounce back from the adversity of Saturday? How would he deal, Kelly, with giving up, coming off a tough effort, an early goal? Well, the fact of the matter is, David Rittich was the best player in the game. David Rittich was a real huge reason the team left the building yesterday with something to show for their effort. So I really like David's mental makeup, if you will, in the sense that he had a very adverse situation in a game and came back brilliantly, then had a really adverse situation in his first home start and responded beautifully. So again, I give him all the credit in the world, but at this point, and he may be a great goalie in this league. At this point, Mike Smith's your main guy, truly one of your best players, one of your leaders. You'd sure like him back sooner rather than later when you're in the teeth of the mess that they're in.
100% you would. Peter Labardes is our guest. The Flames off to Vegas for a date with the Golden Knights tomorrow. They wrap up a quick two-game road trip Thursday in Arizona against the Coyotes. And I guess that leads me to my next question. All that being said about Mike Smith, Lou, and I agree, maybe it's going to be a little bit longer than we first anticipated. What does your gut tell you about the potential of seeing John Gillies get a start on this trip?
Hard to say. You know, it's not a long back-to-back. I guess it's possible. It may have something to do with how David plays, handles the situation. I guess in a certain way, well, if there was ever a group where it might fit, I don't want to discredit Arizona because Arizona's been knocking off some decent teams as of late. And there's always two sides to that coin. Yes, you might favor an opportunity against a team that isn't in the upper echelon to play someone. But on the other hand, I know what happens, i.e. Buffalo, when you don't win one of those kind of games. Then it's like the whole world collapsed because you've given away potentially 2 points that a lot of other teams in the race are getting. So no commitment today either way in that regard. It would not surprise me if David Rittich played both. And, you know, I don't want to be on the fence. It also wouldn't shock me if John Gillies got a start, but I'd probably lean to option A right now if I was guessing rather than option B.
We got him. We saw him assigned back to Stockton because of the Troy Brouwer move. But Lou, just, you know, because I know you guys talked about it on the pregame show yesterday. It was a long time coming for the 2013 first-round pick, Morgan Klimchuk. He only played 7 minutes and change last night. But what did you make of him in his NHL debut?
I quite liked him well. Thought he was responsible. Thought he made some good decisions with the puck. Thought he was on the right side of the puck in a number of situations. Had to be a boatload of emotion running through him. When you think about making your NHL debut, it didn't come probably as early as he would have liked. All Morgan Klimchuk has gone down and done is get better and better and realize, I think, exactly who and what he has to be to at some point be a regular in the NHL. And I don't think there was very much of that effort that he shouldn't be happy with, and I would suggest the team probably liked what they saw. So he should go back feeling pretty good about what he did.
We're chatting with Peter Labardius right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. This is Hockey Central at Noon as the Flames make their way to Las Vegas to take on the Golden Knights for the first time ever in Vegas. And it'll be interesting. It's one of those games that, I mean, obviously we've sent a bunch of people, a bunch of our listeners are going down. It'll be a party as all the Canadian teams have seen that people love to follow their team down to Las Vegas. But there is a bit of a fun sort of twist for the Calgary Flames. They've done the father's trip for quite a few years. Well, they're going to switch it up and take a page from some other teams. They're taking their moms along this time.
I think it is absolutely fantastic. Depending on your situation, moms, the last time I checked, play some pretty significant roles in a lot of people's lives.
For sure.
In so many ways, they are the fabric. They keep it together. They glue it all. This is a really special situation, and I know we always talk about the dads, and it's usually about the dads and the dads' trips, and I've been part of them with the Flames. That's been fantastic too. But there's generally something about a bond between the mother and their child in a lot of cases that we as men can't understand. And outside of, you know, the nurturing and the caring and just how important these people are in their lives. So I think I could tell this morning I saw a few of them around the rink. They're really excited. The guys, I'm sure, are delighted to have them around. Glenn Gullitson's going to even involve them and have them in the dressing room tomorrow in Vegas for their morning meeting. I think that's a great twist. I think it's awesome. Because I think sometimes the mums don't get the credit they deserve, and they deserve a lot of credit.
And Lou, I guess before we let you go, I know you talked about it yesterday on the show. You're going to pull an all-nighter in Vegas, but not your typical all-nighter in Vegas.
It's a Lou all-nighter.
Yeah, it's a Lou all-nighter watching hockey in Vegas. That's what it's going to be for me. I have a 4 a.m. wake up, and who knows if I stay up and probably try and shut it down for a couple hours rather than watching OAR put the boots to Norway at about 11:30. But chances are there's not a lot of sleep on the docket for me, at least for one more night, because I'd like to tell you I have great confidence about Canada's chances against the Finns. For a quarterfinal matchup, that's 50-50 at best. Not to say that this group isn't capable, but my whole worry from the first time I watched them back in September and October, and I know that wasn't this edition, but I wondered, are you going to be able to generate enough offense? I don't think they're going to give up a lot, but the last two games, they have not created a lot, including in the game against Korea. Now, the Koreans today almost threw what would have been, you want to talk about a miracle on ice. When that game against the Finns gets to 3-2, they end up coming back and winning that. That is the greatest hockey miracle maybe of all time. Now, the Finns made sure it didn't happen, and we'll have a date with Canada early tomorrow morning. But that was a pretty neat story today. And if you didn't see it, hopefully you can find it or they'll replay it. But to watch Jim Pack, who's the head coach, former Stanley Cup champion in Pittsburgh, of Korea, like literally with tears running down his face as his team was celebrated, saluted the crowd. They have been pretty competitive. To where that program started a few years ago to now, that may be the greatest part of the whole Olympic men's hockey tournament, is that scene today. That was something I'll never forget, and you could tell, even with the people that were broadcasting the game, that's a moment they'll never forget either.
And Lou, I totally agree. I don't want to take anything away from the Koreans, but I certainly think we're talking about a different performance from them if the NHL players are there, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But isn't that what this event is all about?
For sure. Yep, for sure.
I think the NHL, they're almost geniuses for doing this. Because you know what's going to happen? Everybody is going to crave, they're going to miss it, that they didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have 4 years of hoping that they do. So guess what generally happens to hockey fans? What's happened with hockey fans with every lockout? Have hockey fans stayed away?
Nope.
They've come back with more feminine vigor and in bigger numbers than before. So you know what? Just treat us any way you want, and we're just going to come back and tell you it's okay. And you know what? It's going to happen again, probably in China.
Yeah, I would think the NHL guys will go back in China. That's what I'm hearing anyway. So, all right, we're going to let you enjoy your time in Las Vegas. Go easy on poor Derek Wills. His head's going to explode. He won't know what's going on.
I'll just let him, you know, just do whatever he wants to do with it.
Well, if you happen to be up at 4 in the morning and we have a morning show.
I will be up at 4 in the morning,
If a morning guy doesn't happen to show up, we can give you a call.
Has that happened before?
No.
Come on.
Are you kidding me?
Well, you know what? You know what? That's the greatest thing about me. I'm always available to help out.
I know.
If somebody needs.
God love you. All right. Safe trip to Vegas. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Have a great one.